World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we don't want to give the devil any glory here this morning, but geezy, I mean, I feel like we've been chaos. That's a good word. Chaos. I feel like there's been chaos going on around the Dobenmeyer house here for us. Pull that up there. By the way, that's where, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form. That word actually means chaos. Void and without form. Chaos. And chaos is the confusion or a confused mass of which matter is supposed to have existed. So chaos is any mixed mass, confusion, disorder, a state in which the parts are undistinguished. I'm just telling you, I'm just acknowledging, I'm not giving glory to the devil or nothing. There's chaos around Michelle, right? For at least the last week. Unbelievable stuff that's going on. I'm sitting here this morning and I'm not complaining, sitting in my multi-million dollar studio. And there's water on the floor. Water's coming in from, I'm in my basement, folks. My studio's in my basement. There's water coming into my studio. Started in last night. And then, of course, I lost my computer. I went and got another computer, but they won't have it ready for 2 days. My wife has a computer that I can use, but I can't get access to my email on her computer. It's unbelievable. You know what that tells me? Something great's getting ready to happen. That's what I say. Huh? It's like this. When you're coaching football, you know when the other team starts blitzing, they're in trouble. Because in football, a real football game, if those guys could just play their base defense, now some of you out there say, Coach, I'm not a football fan. Quit talking about football. Well, their base defense would be a 5-2, a 4-4, a 4-3 slant. There's a lot of different variations of how you line up your 11 guys on the field. I'm going to tell you this. If you line up your 11 guys on the field and you're not I'm on defense now. Yep. The other team has the ball. I'm on defense. And if I line up my 11 guys on the field and we're not stopping them, if they're just running it and running it and running it and running it and running it, we got to do something. We have to adjust. We have to say to our defensive coordinator, hey, Coach Norm, start blitzing. Start blitzing. What does that mean when you start blitzing? Well, it means you take guys from a different area of the field, and you blitz them. You send them in like a bullet. You shoot them into a gap. That's called a blitz. And you start blitzing, for the most part, when you're not stopping them. When you're unable to stop them from moving the ball, you start blitzing. Now, to blitz is really, really dangerous because when you blitz, you make yourself vulnerable. Hey, Spencer, I'm going to see if you can find this. Folks, I'm going to show you an example here of blitzing, okay? Go to the Ohio State University football game on set. I'm going to show you one play. Most people never saw this. Blitzing makes you vulnerable. So what does that tell me? The enemy is very, very vulnerable. I'm going to show you an example here if Spencer can find it. Spencer's a magician, so if he can. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that because we are in the midst of chaos. We're going to talk this morning about fifth generational warfare. We're going to talk about what? We're going to talk about flooding on the East Coast, burning on the West Coast, Did you find it, man? Go to YouTube and look up Ohio State. Screen pass, Ohio State screen pass. See, folks, if I had more time, I could get to, because this, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what happens. I'm sorry, I didn't know that before. So anyway, while Spencer, somebody come in and talk for a minute and I will find it. And I'll send it to you, Spencer. Somebody, hey, Can somebody fill us in on, I don't know, somebody fill us
fielding in. Fielding to kick it away from the Buckeyes, Matthew.
You think you found it? Did you? It's a screen pass right at the last play of the first half. Spencer's, you got coach. You guys out there say, Coach, I don't even care about football. You're crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm going to show you something here. Hang on. Blitzing, folks. We're blitzing. OSU screen pass. Let's see. Oh, is that it? Is that it? Wait a minute. Is that it? There it is. There it is. Spencer, hang on. Oh, my goodness. I love it when this happens. Okay, Spence, I'm going to send it to you. Copy. I'm sorry, folks. This is kind of corny that we do a show like this, isn't it? But I want to make a point. Whenever you blitz, you make yourself vulnerable. Okay, Spence, coming to you. No, I'm going to send it to Jared. That's how you get it in. You guys out there saying this guy's nuts. No. Because look, friends, coming, Spencer, the devil's blitzing. The devil is blitzing, okay? I'm going to show you here from an illustration. Blitzing is important. You've heard of Blitzkrieg during the Second World War, right? That was Hitler and his Blitzkrieg. That's when they put all their forces in one spot and attacked. Okay, I'm going to freeze it. Okay, this is right at the end of the first half, okay? Right at the end of the first half. Now, I wish I could highlight. Spencer, take your marker and put it on the guy right beside the quarterback. I'm going to show you something here, folks. Guy stand, right beside the quarterback. Right there. He's going to get the football, okay? Now watch this. He's going to get the football. This is a screen pass, what they call a screen pass. Spencer, take the lineman. Go to the lineman. Showing you a little bit of football here. The linemen are all going to come running out this way. They're going to sneak out towards us. And they're going to set up a fence, a screen, in front of that running back who's hiding back there. But here's what I want you to watch. You know who screws up? Spencer. See that guy standing right on the line? It's on the other team. Come this way. Come towards me. No. Yeah, come back. No. Come back. Right there. This dude, I bet he got chewed out because he blitzes and he's not supposed to. And watch what happens. They're going to sneak Travion Henderson out, going to run everybody off, and those fat old linemen are going to sneak right over and set up a screen, and it's going to go 75 yards. But I want you to keep your eye on that guy there in the white. Watch him blitz, and he misses the whole thing. Go ahead. Here we go.
Back in the game.
He's not supposed to go.
Screen to Henderson.
Whoops.
You can make up for it now, Bob. Finds his blocker.
Run it back, Spencer. Run it back. I want you guys to see how that develops. Say, I don't care about football. This is a strategic play. Do you understand this, folks? That guy, look at Travion. Okay, Spencer. Sir, do Travion again. The guy they're going to throw the ball to. We're going to run this play. Get another guy in the back, right by the quarterback. He's going to get the football, okay? Now watch him. And then all the linemen are going to let the linemen go through. Look, watch him sneak out here. Number three is supposed to cover him.
Will
Howard. But he got one's fine. Uh-oh.
Screen to Henderson.
Screen. The guys are out in front. Get it? Hey, folks. The devil is blitzing, baby. The devil's blitzing. And Ohio State caught them in that blitz. And look at all the linemen out in front of him. Everybody got sucked in.
Screen to Henderson.
Oh, the linemen are out in front. Let's go. Now it's 5-on-12. Oh, there ain't anybody there, right? Okay, so coach, let me relax here, man. What are you saying? Folks, pressure is a good thing. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. Understand this. Wherever you are in your life, you better learn to fight pressure. Fight pressure. So pressure is coming. Why? Blitz is coming, man. And I don't know if you understand this or not. In the culture and in society, and as we're looking around, the devil is beginning to blitz. He is more obvious in what he's doing. But we haven't all picked it up. Somebody asked me yesterday, Coach, are you going to go to the inaugural? You know what I told him? If I was Donald Trump, I wouldn't show up at the inaugural. I would make them I would make them swear me in at Mar-a-Lago. There is no way that I would appear in public. And I'm going to say this also. The devil is so desperate. Would it surprise any of you if there was some type of attack in Washington, D.C. during the inauguration with everybody outside on the Capitol steps? If you were the devil, would you do that? Wouldn't that be a good place to drop a, I don't know, plant some kind of bomb, fly a drone over? Well, I don't know. Fifth generational warfare, whatever's going on. So I'm calming down now. Now that I explained football to you and you all know how to run the screen, see how the screen works, right? We have to understand. And so I want to talk to you a little bit today about fifth generational warfare. Hey, Spencer. Again, folks, kind of bear with me a little bit. I don't want that yet, Spence. It's been awful this morning. I don't have a computer. I got water in my bag. I'm doing my best on my cell phone to try to put together a show, okay? I want you to see this, friends. Spencer, go down where it says burned homes. Burned homes. Fifth generational warfare. I'm going to talk about that here this morning. Fifth generational warfare. It's a standalone email. Standalone email. Doesn't it say burned homes? Or did I not send that to you? Of course, I didn't send it to you. Hang on. I'm sorry. You got to see this, folks. Now, I want you to think about, you can think whatever you want to. You can think devil. You can think Luciferians. You can think whatever. Stop right now. I want to hear from some of you guys out there. Can you name for me natural disasters that we've seen over the last couple years? Somebody give me one. Thank you. East Palestine, the train derailment in East Palestine. Good one. Somebody give me another one.
Maui.
Lahaina.
Burn up. Give me another one.
The hurricanes.
Give me another one.
Paradise City.
Noah. Natural disasters. But friends, are they natural disasters?
Now, major flooding in Saudi Arabia and China.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my. So look on your screen right now. These are the prices of the homes destroyed in this one block. Is that 9.7 million, 8.8 million, 4.9 million, 5.2. By the way, do you notice how they just look like a cul-de-sac where average everyday people would live in $100,000 homes? They're crazy, isn't it? But those homes, it's the location, 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 right? So all of those homes disappeared. What? Yeah, they have. And all those homes disappeared in North Carolina and Tennessee. Fifth generational warfare. Am I doing okay? Bear with me. I want to show you something. Okay. So I want you... Oh my goodness. Go to Introduction to Fifth Generational Warfare. We talked about this before. General Flynn talked about that. I found this. Oh, who's that? Let me turn that off. I'm sorry. What a crazy morning this has been, huh? What a crazy morning. An Introduction to Fifth Generational Warfare. What is Fifth Generational Warfare? Folks, look. Fifth Generational Warfare is at its very foundation, the creation of chaos. It's fifth generational warfare. I found this on this website this morning, and I was struggling all morning trying to get this stuff up. But Spencer, just kind of scroll down through this stuff, okay? I don't know anything about this website. How I learned to stop worrying about what is 5G? Go down to the bottom. What is 5G? Well, here are the generationals. This is why they call it fifth generation, okay? The first one was ancient melee battles. They used muskets. The second generation was gunpowder, and we got the Blitzkrieg. The third generation was mechanized warfare focused on speed and maneuverability, and that gave us terrorism. The fourth generation was decentralized warfare, is led by state actors, the mobile internet, network, media, controlling information. But the fifth generational warfare is yet to be determined, and it is a war of information and perception. Vinny, say boom. Information and perception. And if you stop and think about it, what is it they're talking about all the time? Disinformation, 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 disinformation. What did they do to us during COVID? Well, they gave us lies. They lied to us. And then when we stood up and tried to say the truth, they said disinformation. Are you with me? This is
fifth generational
warfare. It says here that the concept of fifth generational warfare is itself controversial, right? We argue that what has happened in modern conflict today is so radically different from the fourth generation framework that it's time to enter the fifth one. So we can't, what's going on? We used to trust all these people, used to turn on TV and you trust them, and we still have not realized that the information war is fifth generational warfare. Scroll on down. 5GW right there is a war of information and perception. Hey, friends, think about it. Boys can be girls. Girls can be boys. Oh, fifth generation warfare tactics have advanced to the point that when applied correctly, their very use has been concealed. And we will describe further below an attribution problem. In many cases, simply understanding who is behind a 5G attack. Okay, scroll down. Misinformation, cyber attacks, social. Look, folks, these are all parts of fifth generation warfare, okay? Misinformation, cyber attacks, social engineering, teaching homosex to your grandchild, social media manipulation, data-driven, Facebook, YouTube, all of it being controlled, right? Mass surveillance, they have open source information, commercially available social media analytics, right? What was it? Zuckerberg was doing? Well, they would censor it. They would censor any information that the enemy didn't want us to have. They would call it what? Disinformation. So it was electronic warfare with rapid reduction in cost and avail. All of a sudden on the internet, with the invention of the internet, you didn't sit in front of your TV and watch Dan Rather. You had information everywhere. And they said, man, if we can just control them, if we can just get Facebook to censor people, if we can just get, it used to be, what was Twitter? If we can just get Twitter to censor you, are you with me? So in summary, fifth generational warfare is, scroll on down, Spence. Oh boy, here we go. Keep going. There's a lot of it. I'll put this in the chat so you can get it. Keep going. There's a chart at the bottom of it. Thanks, Spence. Yeah, look at all that stuff. I'm doing this on my phone. Okay, they're giving examples of fifth generational wear. Okay, so here's some things that are important for us to understand. Ambiguity of the opposing force. In other words, you don't know who the enemy is. You don't know who the enemy is. Ambiguity of the attack vector. It's all information, friends. It's all information. And the people we used to trust, we can't trust. And the people we don't want to trust Alex Jones. And all of a sudden, Alex Jones is becoming right. Dopamine loops. People sitting in front of their phones. Their brains getting frozen, looking at the computer. Triggering existing cognitive biases in the target. So they figure out what Ray LeBlanc likes and they feed it to him, right? And if Ray LeBlanc says, I don't want to look at this, I want to look over here, they say, no. That's disinformation, Ray. That's disinformation. You got to trust us. Are you getting it, friends? Triggering existing cognitive bias in target, creating a new cognitive bias, making you think January 6th insurrection was an insurrection, right? So why? So that those of us who love the Lord and love liberty and love freedom, well, we won't come out and help our J6 buddies. They were trying to overthrow the government. Folks, informational bias, fifth generational warfare, telling you if you stand up and defend those guys, well, you are for the overthrowing of the American government. Anybody get it?
Boom.
Huh? It's a mind game. It's all an information mind game. Oh. This all emerged from the Arab Spring. It was solidified during the 2016 U.S. presidential election. And the 2021 Israel-Palestine conflict was the first example of 5G in a kinetic battle. Wow. Wow, wow. Okay, Spencer. There's another one I think I want you to see. No. Didn't I send you a second link? I'm sorry, man. Nope, that's not what I want. It says, oh, maybe I didn't send it to you. Is this it? Oh, well, there it is. All right, Spencer. Maybe I didn't send this one to you either because I was messing with my, hang on, friend. Bear with me, friend. Sorry for the crappy show this morning. I'm doing the best I can. I promise you. Okay, Spencer, it's on its way through cyberspace to you. Anybody got something they want to say right now while I'm trying to find this thing? Are there any hands up here?
Yeah, I do, Coach. Talking about misinformation and planting.
They're doing the misinformation, Ray. They're doing the misinformation.
They are. But they also can plant information with this digital age we're in. Dr. Greer was talking about a whistleblower that was ready to go forth before Congress and spill the beans on a matter. And as he's getting ready to go, two of these MBI show up, men in black, and they said, hey, before you leave your house, you might want to take a look at your phone and on your computer. What's that child porn there? They planted child porn on his phone and said, you keep going, and you really don't want this thing to come out, do you? So, you know. They can duplicate you, Coach, and make you commit a murder. And it's all there, and people are going to believe it. So.
Amen.
It's terrible.
So listen, trust me, please. I'm sorry. I was trying to do everything I'm trying to do has been on my phone. It's been horrific for me this morning. So I'm sorry that the show's so choppy. Give me a little bit of grace here, because I thought I sent it to you, Spence, but evidently that's the one I'm looking for. I can't seem to find. Is this it? No, they keep coming up with the same thing. It just gave us a good list. It doesn't matter. Okay, you guys understand fifth generational warfare and what's going on. So somewhat, all right? Somewhat you understand what's going on. And if somebody could, somebody a lot smarter than me, what is fifth generational warfare? Can somebody give it to me in a nutshell? What is it?
It's a war. The battle for the mind.
It's a war for information.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it amazing, Alex Jones, how long ago did he start InfoWars? Right? Huh? So it's a war for information. So one of the things that's happening right now, say what you want to about Elon Musk. I mean, I don't know who the good guys are from the bad guys. I don't know if anybody does anymore. But Elon Musk scared the S-H-I-T out of people when he bought X. Is it X? Is that what it is? Because now they didn't have control of all the disinformation. And are you noticing? Zuckerberg's trying to flop over. Other people are resigning. People are going. Because why? They know that if the truth gets out, oh my goodness, it's always been a battle over the truth. Let me go to one more thing here. Okay. Bear with me. Pull up Lou Rockwell. Because, folks, January 6th was and is and continues to be a fifth generation of warfare. I'm going to read this real quick. I know you can read. Some people are just listening, okay? It's one of the worst things you can do on a talk show like this is read. But at least you guys can follow along with me. Lou Rockwell, January 13th. Past January 6th, at a joint session of Congress, certified the election of Donald Trump as president. The event was ceremonial, as everybody knew, right after the November election that Trump had defeated Kamala Harris, whose efforts to fill the deal. Okay, going down. We know that. There was no debate. Everybody knew it. Let's first look at the evidence that the election was. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. It was ironic. Stop. Nope, go back up, Spence. It was ironic that Harris, presiding over the session, had to read the tally of her own defeat. Because on January 6, 2021, it was not like that at all. There was credible evidence that the election of 2020 had been stolen from Trump, and he and his supporters were not about to go quietly. Let's first look at the evidence the election was stolen. According to Paul Craig Roberts, the official narrative that there was no election theft is likely the largest lie ever perpetrated on the world. What is fifth generation warfare? Lying. Disinformation, right? He said it was the largest lie ever perpetrated on the world. The lie is so vast and so fragile that everyone who disagrees with the official narrative is suppressed, deplatformed, kicked off social media, ostracized, and fired from their job in order to protect the lie from examination and exposure. Hey, Vinny, somebody say boom! Boom! This all happened to us in a four-year period. Generational. We don't understand fifth generational warfare.
Amen.
In Michigan, the state attorney general said, hey, folks, stop a minute. Coach, take a deep breath. This is COVID. This was COVID. Information. Misinformation. In Michigan, the state attorney general is attempting to debar attorneys who represented cases of electoral theft. Massive efforts were made, including an orchestrated storming of the Capitol, to ensure that the evidence would not be presented and that the majority of the population would never encounter the evidence. You understand that they made January 6th violent so they would never have to present the information, because fifth generational warfare is information. The prostitutes were the first stance, declared continuously, one voice. There was no voter fraud. Baseless claims of vote fraud and the old standby conspiracy theory. That's what the media said over and over and over. Now, obviously, if there was no fraud, there would have been no danger in examining the baseless claims. The baselessness could simply have been demonstrated. They could have just showed us all open to books and no fraud. If the claims of electoral fraud are baseless, there was no need to split the country and to cause half of the voting population to distrust the public institutions that are supposed to uphold election integrity. Even with that hard evidence of a stolen election, it was obvious that Trump did not lose to Biden, who inspired no enthusiasm, whose campaign events had to be halted because nobody showed up. How did Trump lose the election when on December 29th, after 2 months of his heightened demonization following the November 20th election, he won the annual Gallup survey as America's most admired person? Did you guys know that? But after the election, he was America's most admired person. And according to the official vote count, Trump received 11 million votes, more votes in 2020 than the number he won in 2016, and three times the black support. And in 2020, Trump received 8 million more votes than Obama received in 2012 and Hillary received in 2016. It is not possible that his extraordinary performance is a losing one. And this is his official vote count, not his suppressed actual vote. Are you following, folks? Disinformation. They couldn't let the truth be out. No sane person believes that such an uninspiring candidate as Biden garnered 81 million votes, 15 million more than Obama and Hillary. The Obama-Hillary popular vote of 65, 66 million is as high as the Democrats will ever get. Even Trump's losing official was 74 million, larger than any president in history had ever gotten. In other words, no voting machine or other material evidence is needed to see that the 2020 election was stolen.
Boom.
We're not done. Nevertheless, there's massive evidence. Giuliani collected a lot of it and was presented to members of the legislatures. I watched presentations of evidence by highly skilled analysts. In previous posting on this website, there are links to the presentation. As much information has been deplatformed, the links might no longer work. But MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell has collected some of the most unbelievable evidence of election fraud. Trump and his supporters had every right to challenge the election. This includes the right to demonstrate against the counting of the ballots in Congress. And although the counting is normally a formality, it does not have to be. And the members of Congress have the right to challenge the seating of the electors. With that in mind, Trump spoke at a rally in Washington. He urged his supporters to go demonstrate against the illegal counting. He urged them, scroll down. I'm sorry to read. He said to be peaceful, except for a few agent provocateurs. They were peaceful. They didn't break into the Capitol, but were let in by police. And indeed, the main violence that day was the murder of a peaceful protester, Ashley Babbitt. A policeman shot her in the back. And as Jacob Homburger reports, a Washington, D.C. establishment is, needless to say, up in arms over President-elect Trump's plan to pardon the protesters who stormed the Capitol. Do you understand this, friends? Do you understand why they got to make Bill Dunphy and those guys out to be the bad guys everywhere you look in the media? Because they can't let the good guys out. Trump's pardons will be upending not only the entire prosecution conviction scheme, but also the ludicrous official narrative that has been used to justify the prosecution and sentencing. The narrative states that the protesters were intent on violently overthrowing the federal government and installing Trump into power, overcoming the opposition, of course, of the Pentagon, the CIA, the NSA, the Capitol Police, the DC Police, and the FBI. Friends, Lou Rockwell writes, it would be more difficult to find a more ludicrous narrative than the one that they tried to throw on us on J6. It's worth mentioning that not one of the protesters had an AR-15, no assault weapons, no high-powered guns. Just think, this would have been the first violent overthrow of a government in history without one gun. Oh, but not so with the Capitol Police. They were fully armed. They killed Ashley Babbitt. They shot policeman Michael Byrd, shot her dead with his gun. Scroll down. I think I'm done, huh? Folks, fifth generational warfare. So they're going to do everything they can to... They call us the conspiracy theorists. It's all right there in front of us. There's more to read. I'm not going to read it. Kevin, come on in.
All right, so let me ask you this. Every example you just laid out of the last 5 minutes, which covered several different subjects that they've done in the last number of years, how much of that all goes back to the Smith-Mundt Act signed into law by Obama, which lifted the ban on propaganda and being able to propagandize and lie to the American people?
Mm. Amen, baby, huh? Okay, folks. I always say this, when we find out when Obama told us that he's going to radically transform the United States of America, everything goes back to a fraudulent birth certificate. Sorry, baby. Rochelle, come on in. Can't hear you, Rochelle. There you are. Come on in. Got to unmute. Maybe need to leave and come back. Can't have whatever, or let me work with Neil. You try to unmute Neil. Come on in.
This information is just the rebranded version of propaganda. As Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, there's nothing new under sun. That's what Hitler did in World War II. He would drop flyers over England telling these people, you know, lies. It's just another version of propaganda is what misinformation is.
But Neil, it's controlled propaganda, isn't it? Right? Anything that counters the official narrative, what do they call you? Conspiracy theorist, election denier, on and on and on and on. It's right in front of us. Michelle, you want to try it again? Lauren, Michelle, I see you. I see your pretty face there, but I can't hear your pretty voice.
What about?
There. Go.
Okay, thank you. Kevin hit on the Smith-Mundt. Okay, so when Obama come in 2012, remember how he wanted to change everything? Well, one of the things he did was made it acceptable to lie to the American population. And they had to go like a roundabout way before. They had to do it through sources that were not in the United States. So you saw all of these, you know, all of these news sources from India pop up. You know what I mean? And all of these fake news agencies pop up. So when Trump was talking about fake news, he was really onto something. They had been feeding us fake news for years. So when you see them all converging on the same thing, like climate change and agreement on what caused the fire and all of these things, you know you're being lied to, because the press is supposed to question the narrative, not get together in the back rooms and say the same things over and over. And that's why your Jan 6 deniers don't believe us. They're like, well, we saw it on ABC, CBS, NBC, so you must be crazy.
That's right. That's right. Michelle, and I saw this. Do you know that some of them out in California are still trying to blame the fire on global warming? Do you guys see that? Do you understand that They see, they take every instance and they take their pet whatever and they apply it to it. See, there's evidence. That's global warming. That's what's called. When in fact, well, how that thing started, how it started in Lahaina, all that stuff. What the heck went down up in East Palestine? Folks, disasters everywhere you look. What the hell is going on? Well, fifth generational warfare. Come on, Lauren.
Good morning. It's projection when you look at it from an addiction perspective. They're projecting onto you what they would they're actually doing, but you're not doing that.
That's right. It's projection. That's exactly right. They're accusing you of what they're doing. That's it, man. Roger.
Yeah, Coach, think of disinformation. When Kennedy was shot, the news media went with the lie. And what did they do? They committed, they appointed the Warren Commission to cover it up. Now we had the same thing today, you know, it's going on.
Well, what Liz Cheney's group got together and what? They tried to reinforce the lies that had been taught, right? Look, folks, I was there on January 6th. There are many. We took 100 and some people with us to January 6th. Pastor Bill Dunphy is in jail today when on January 6th, all he did was stand on the steps and preach to a bullhorn. Bill Dunphy didn't lead an insurrection, but then, I know what. If we got Jeff Klein in here, Jeff would tell you that there's not a minister in all of Coshocton County or Knox County in Ohio that will stand with Bill Dunphy. Why? Because that is their plan. Divide and conquer. Make an example of him, Pastor. You keep your mouth shut. You stay in your pulpit. You wear your mask. And you shut down when you're supposed to. And we're going to get along just fine. That's why Bill Dunphy was so important to them. Fifth generational warfare. And we don't get it. Huh? We don't get it. Judah.
Yeah. You hit it right on the head. You know, he talked about the Liz Cheney and understanding Gerald Ford was on the Warren Commission. Once you understand that Liz Cheney sits on Gerald Ford's board of the Ford Foundation, it all makes sense for everybody.
So, friends, don't forget this. I'm connected dot here, Judd. Gerald Ford is the only president in history who was not elected president or vice president. Gerald Ford was never elected. He was Speaker of the House. Remember all this, right? Nixon had Spiro Agnew as his vice president. They got Spiro Agnew trapped in some type of tax thing. He had to resign, and then they picked Gerald Ford to be president. And then what happened? Why, Nixon got trapped into Watergate, which was all made up. And lo and behold, Gerald Ford is president of the United States. How the heck did that happen? That's what Judd's alluding to, folks. This has been going on for a long, long time. And if you think that anything happens by accident in D.C., we don't understand what's going on. That's why I said I ain't going to the inauguration. And I would be surprised. This is just me now. Why does the president have to stand out on the Capitol steps with all those people around there? Are they just setting us up for something to happen there? Hey, wait a minute. Hang on. If there were to be an explosion, heaven forbid, in Washington, D.C., that would kill Trump and all those leaders that are sitting there, right? All Congress leaders are all going to be there. And this thing blows up, and you blow off the head of government, essentially blow off the head of government. Who are they going to blame? The Muslims? The Chinese? So that's why I would exhort President Trump, you stay right in your room, and you take the oath, and don't come out there. And I'm warning everybody who's listening to me, I wouldn't be anywhere near that place. These folks, yeah, be the Russians. Russians did it! It sure wouldn't be BLM, would it? Could have been some of those right-wingers, those Trumpsters, right? Folks, you understand how they manipulate us? Craig, come on in. Stop a minute. You don't hear this everywhere, do you? That's why I get up in the morning to do this. You guys don't hear this anywhere. Come on in, Craig.
Well, just to expand on what Judah said, who took the position after Gerald Ford? That would be Jimmy Carter. So when we had the funeral last week, who became good friends after they left office? Well, Jimmy Ford and Gerald Ford's family. So who did Gerald Ford ask to give his eulogy for at his funeral? Well, that was Jimmy Carter. But the deal was that Jimmy Carter asked, well, will you give a eulogy if I die first? Of course, he didn't. So who gave the eulogy at Jimmy Carter's funeral at the National Cathedral but Gerald Ford's son? And who was on the Trilateral Commission, who was from Rockefeller, okay, who took this gentleman from Plains, Georgia, nobody knew, and put him in the position of power to win the Democratic leadership. So it's, yeah, Judah's right.
Yeah,
It played out in front of you last week, but you didn't see it.
Fifth generation warfare. We don't understand what's going on, right? Right there in front of us. Hang on, Jared. I'm sending you, or Spencer. I just sent you two pictures. I just got them from Dave Allison. I got to show you these pictures. Come on in, Dave. Good points, Craig. Sorry, didn't mean to brush that off. Good points. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Thanks, Craig, for sharing that. I really appreciate the knowledge that you bring to the group here. I really do. Thanks so much for that, Coach. I got thinking. I sent you those pictures. That's the church that burnt down in California. And that was a banner they had on their church prior.
Pull up, Spencer. Hang on, Dave. Spencer, pull up the banner. Dave just sent me these pictures. I don't know where he got it. It's good. But while Dave is talking, I'm going to put the pictures up there that he's referring to. We're going to see a burned church and the sign out front of the burned church. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. And so this is the problem. And we talk about, people talk about climate change. The message we should tell them that you think climate change is bad now, wait till after you die, you don't have Jesus Christ. You're going to really experience real climate change there. So,
and
climate change is a concern of yours, that would be one climate change that I would be extremely concerned about.
Well, to be really concerned about it.
Right? Well, that's the one picture. That's the picture that was. But there's another banner, Spencer, do you have that second picture? Yeah, right there. If you zoom in on that, you know, they say that they stand against what the global position on sexuality. And as you can see, they say all people are welcome. And they're against the position that the church takes on homosexuality. But as you can see, the church got some radical climate change.
They got some radical climate change. They did that for sure, didn't they? Look at that, folks. Huh? Hey, Spence, go back again to those multi-million-dollar homes that you had up there at the first. Look, can you imagine that? I want you to think about this. It looks like any cul-de-sac in America, doesn't it? Why are those homes $5 million? $5.7 million. Do you understand what they've done to us with inflation? You understand the printing of dollars? You understand the magnitude? See, it's not like when you lost a home in Swannanoa that's worth $200,000. You won't even pay to help rebuild those. Look, do the math. 5.8, that's 13, that's 21 million, 26 million, 20, 30 million. 35 million, 41, just on the first row. Value of homes gone. Vinny, come in.
Well, while you're adding up everything, I just want to add another dimension, Coach. I believe it's not what's in those houses, Coach. I believe it's what's under them.
Say it again, Vinny. Your audio was a little bit soft there, Vinny.
I believe it's what's under the houses, Coach.
Oh, what, the information within the houses. The information within the houses, right?
Hmm.
Hey, folks, do we at all, do we connect what's going on with the child trafficking and the Epstein Island? Do we, in fact, really connect the dots here on what the heck's going on in California, Los Angeles, of all places? I don't know. See, we do not understand the church, the depth of evil that we're dealing with. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. And one of the things that they want to do with fifth generational warfare is they want to make sure that those of us who carry the name of Christ don't get involved. That we stay back, stay in our houses. You try to come out and go to J6. You want to come out and want some truth here? No, you ain't going to be doing that here, buddy. You ain't gonna, we're going to lock you up. And lock you up. I'm going to switch gears here in a minute. I'm just looking here saying, Lord, do I want to go there? What are the laws of nature and of nature's God? I did some research this morning. Spence, bring up 33 spiritual laws of the universe. That's right up Mark Trump's alley. Now, I want you to know some of this that I'm looking at here isn't Christian, okay? It isn't Christian. Some of it isn't. But I want you to think about the universal laws. Can I give you a universal law? Before we do this, can anybody give me a universal biblical law? What we would define today, or they did back in 1776, the laws of nature. What's a law of nature?
Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap.
You plant beans, you don't get cucumbers. You reap what you sow. What's another law?
Gravity.
Gravity. What goes up must come down. These are what we would call natural laws, right? But what are the spiritual laws? What are the spiritual laws? Give and shall be given unto you. Heaped up, pressed down, running over. Give, right? Believe, faith. These are natural spiritual laws. But and one of the things that they want to try to do before they get into the spiritual laws, they want to make sure that they can destroy the natural laws. So here are 12 universal laws of the universe. Scroll down, Spence. Number one. The law of divine oneness, the law of vibration. Maybe Mark Trump could get into some of these things. You jiggle something, boom, 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 airway, boom, boom, boom. It's a law. The law of action. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The law of correspondence, meaning you won't answer if I don't talk to you. You can't answer if I haven't asked the question. The law of cause and effect. I got electrocuted because there's water coming in my, that'd be right. The law of compensation. The law of attraction. These are laws. Scrolling down. The law of perpetual transmutation of energy. Energy, what was Newton said? Energy can never be created or destroyed. It can only change form. Isn't that right? I think so. The law of relativity, the law of polarity. I'm not going to get into these, but look at this, number 12, the law of gender. What are we seeing them trying to, what are they trying to change? A natural law, the law of gender. A man will never be a woman. And then they have other universal sub-laws, aspiration to higher power, charity, compassion, courage, dedication, faith, forgiveness. And what we're seeing going on all around us is the destruction or the altering or the pollution of natural law. Everywhere we see it, it's happening, folks. And there isn't anybody other than the church who can be the bulwark against this kind of stuff. So Tony, with universal laws, charity, compassion, courage, dedication, faith, forgiveness. Stop a minute. Let me camp there a minute. Unforgiveness is poison. Man, it poisons you more than it poisons the other person. A lot of times they don't even know you're mad at them. Some of you folks out there got somebody you need to forgive. We all do. Why would you want that stuff rolling around inside of you? The law of generosity. I know some people who are so freaking generous, they'll give you, they don't even have anything, they'll give it to you. And I know those who've got a lot, and they won't get a damn dime. Law of grace, law of honesty. You hate anybody more than you do a liar. Hate a dishonest car dealer. Sorry, Jeff. Anybody hate a dishonest car dealer? I do. Anybody hate dishonest government? I do. Forgiveness, generosity, honesty, hope, joy, kindness, leadership, non-interference, patience, praise, responsibility, self-love, thankfulness, unconditional love. So now let's dive in deeper, a little deeper, some more universal laws, a little bit deeper, 12 universal laws that have been in existence since the beginning of time. Scroll down, Spence. Well, I'm not going to spend the rest of the time doing this. This is good. This is good. Now, also, remember this. Truth resides outside of Christianity. I believe Christianity is all truth. However, you can not be a Christian and believe truth. You just don't understand it's a Christian principle. Just don't understand it. And that's why we've got ourselves trapped in what they call multiculturalism. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to be lied to. Nobody wants to be stolen from, right? Nobody wants to be taken advantage of. So Jesus covered them all. He said, you love your neighbors yourself. All the law's written right there, he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Enable yourself. And then all those other laws will fall into place. Ohio Brett, great job down there, Brett. I tried to call you yesterday and tell you, you deserve some rest. Did a great thing. Go ahead, bud. Come on.
Oh, we're not getting any rest yet, Coach, because you know when an audible live from Orlando, Coach Dave and so many of your team came down, it was an absolute blessing. But when someone fumbles, somebody better pick up the ball and run it into the end zone, right? Yep. Well, yep. I got the call, so I'm getting ready to get back in a U-Haul box truck going to UCF Stadium. Coach Dave and I know what travel bags are. It's where you put your helmets, your shoulder pads, your jock straps, your cleats, everything. Those things are heavy. 120 players. Guess who got a workout? It's been a heck of a workout doing that solo. And pray for
heaven. You had to go get the bags?
I am getting the bags. We're not done yet. We have to go get the bags, unload them into a truck, take them to a FedEx store, unload them into a truck, and then go back into the visitor's locker room. But am I going to let my owner down? No, you don't bitch and complain. You just go do the job. So remember that on your faith with our Lord. Whoever's out there, your ears working, it ain't going to be easy. Get into the Bible, get into Coach Dave Live, and get on your knees every single day. And please pray a hedge of protection because the story's not over yet. The old rental U-Haul, the brakes went out last night. Yes. And that car bumped into a precious young college student. She was crying. We got it done. She called the police. We got it through. It was an amazing night. And then I had the joy of being back in a police car in the back. The precious University of Central Florida police did such a great job. Got me the hotel. Phone dies. No car. But guess what? God is glorified. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. So Brett, I got to go. The Uber's waiting on me because I got to go do something else.
You played Amazing Grace. Tell that story real quick.
Well, we had the blessing of playing Amazing Grace at the end of the third quarter. First time ever in the history of college football or high school football or any football. But my owner is so gracious. The first pillar of the hula bowl is faith. So over the loudspeakers, the players stopped. They looked at the big screen. I was in tears.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to go to work. Pray for a hedge of protection over me. God bless.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, thanks, Brett. Oh, my goodness. Hey, so look. There's chaos attached to that football game. That's when all that chaos began to happen. I lost my computer. We got a car that then we rented a car that didn't work. I had to take it back. We got lost in the airport. Been chaos for a week. I got 5 minutes left here. Somebody come on in here and rescue me. Look, friends, I want you to know this. I take what I do here very, very seriously. I really do. And I haven't been able to do it. I don't have a computer. I can't get on my wife's. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, water coming in here. Chaos all the way down there. Something good about to happen. Randy, come on in.
Coach, I want to submit this. You can judge it. Coach, are we walking into the strong man's house and starting to bind him? Is that why they're pushing back, Coach, on you, yep, on Brett, on everything we do, Coach? We're getting pushed back. Is the strong man avoiding our chains that we're getting ready to put on him, Coach?
They're blitzing, Randy, because they know it's coming, man. They know,
Coach,
it's coming.
That's what I'm, my whole point when you started with the blitz. Yeah, you're vulnerable. They have run out of answers, Coach. They can't stop the sons and the daughters of God in this time. Man, just believe me. Become who you are in Christ and watch the enemy start falling. Yeah, there might be some chaos. There might be some confusion because they're not going to let you just take over. But we are, Coach.
We are, brother. This ain't the end.
This ain't the end. This is the beginning.
Get that football play back up there again. I want you people to see that again. All right? I want you to see it again, that the enemy is blitzing. Okay, now hang on. I'm going to show you, right? Stop. Freeze it. Who's going to get the ball, Spencer? Who's going to get the ball? Right there. He's going to get the ball. And all these big guys in the middle, they're going to let everybody rush through. Let him go. Let him go. Then they're going to get out here in front of him. And now they're going to get, there isn't anybody left. Because why? Go back to the beginning. The guy who should be covering him blitzed. He blitzed. I bet the coaches said, what the hell are you doing? Oh, no. So, folks, when you blitz, you make yourself very, very vulnerable. Okay, Spencer, one more time from the beginning. Look down there, folks. There's like 16 seconds left in the half. 29 seconds. Hang on. Put the sound up. I want to just bask in this. Last 29 seconds. Texas had just scored. Texas gets cocky. Look at these guys. They're going to blitz. They should be in a prevent defense. What are they doing? Uh-oh.
Back in the game. Will Howard. Screen to Henderson. You can make up for it now, Bob. Finds his blocker. Finds some space. Trevion Henderson. Shot out of a cannon. Touchdown, Ohio State, with 13 seconds left in the first half.
That's how you make up for it. We talked about him setting up his blocks. That was a thing of beauty. We had a perfect
answer. They caught him in the blitz. Look at him praising the Lord, man, huh? They caught him in the blitz. Hey, folks, huh? Let's catch him in the blitz. See you tomorrow.